Good evening, church. First of all, I'd like to thank the church for having me come and speak this evening. It's always a privilege to be able to open God's word and to be able to give God's word. So if you have your Bibles there, if you can open up to Joshua chapter 1, which is where we'll be reading from this evening. Now, obviously, the theme for this year has been to be courageous. And when I first saw that this was going to be the theme for this year, it took me back to last year when I went over to Romania, because I had the privilege to go to Romania and preach at the youth camp over there. And they also had the theme to be courageous, or to be strong and courageous. And I thought that if I ever had the opportunity to speak this year, I would have a look at the message I prepared for the first sermon I had over there. So with that, we're going to have a look at Joshua chapter 1, which is obviously the basis of the passage we're looking at. But before we get into the passage, it's important to know the context and understand the context as to where we are in this part of Bible history. So just before this passage was written, or just before this passage occurred, the nation of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. And while they were roaming around the wilderness, they were basically living out a judgment that God had put them in. Now, the nation of Israel, once they left Egypt, they were led out by Moses, and they were then destined for the promised land. But during that time, as they were heading towards the promised land, they sinned against the Lord and they rebelled against the Lord. And then God cursed them, or that generation of Israel, and that curse was they would not be able to enter in to the promised land. So God did all these great things for Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He took them. He parted the Red Sea for them. He collapsed the Red Sea on the Egyptian army, and he set them up. He set them free from captivity of the Egyptians, and they still rebelled upon him. So once they finished this season, they were roaming around the wilderness, and we get to this point here, where if we read from verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." So we're now at this point in Bible history where Moses has died. And Moses at this time was the leader of the nation of Israel. So the nation of Israel needed a new leader, and this was now to be Joshua. Now Joshua in this time was obviously about to take on a big responsibility. We all know Moses had a pretty big impact on Bible history. He's a prominent figure. He did lots of great things. God used him to write the law, or part of the law. God used him to build the Ten Commandments. God used him to get the nation of Israel out of Egypt. So we would say, in colloquial terms, that Joshua has some pretty big shoes to fill. Joshua would have seen all the great things that God did through Moses, and now Joshua is at a point where he's been told that he's going to be taken over from Moses. And this is where we get to here in Joshua chapter 1. Now, this particular passage is effectively God's charge for Joshua. Now, what a charge is effectively is just a word of encouragement that someone will give someone before they go and do something. Quite often at a wedding, and you know, as a married man now, I can now talk about this open and freely, that someone may give someone a charge at a wedding, which is basically giving the couple getting married some wisdom as they go forth into their married life as to what they should do. So what we see here is God giving charge to Joshua. If we continue reading on from verse 3, it says, we'll read down to verse 9. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Therefore, not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time that we have here to look into your word. Father, I pray that you just may speak to every one of us tonight as we look at this passage. Father, I pray that you may equip me as your vessel to be able to speak this evening, and I pray that you may be filling me with the Spirit. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So as we look into this passage, there's an overarching theme, which is obviously our theme for the year of being courageous, or what is referred to here as being strong and courageous. Now, we might use these terms strong and courageous in slightly different terms in our life. There's a clear and distinct difference between biblically being strong and courageous and then being strong and courageous in the flesh. We might call certain things in life or call certain people as being strong and courageous. We might call Bear Grylls strong and courageous for going out and conquering some of the great elements. We might call a soldier strong and courageous by going out and fronting the front line in wars and battles. We might call a footy player strong and courageous for going out and playing against another footy team. But all in all, these are just fleshly or humanly terms or forms of being strong and courageous. And typically what we do is we give prominence to these people. We give recognition for what they have done. And ultimately what that is giving recognition to the things that people have done rather than pointing the glory and giving the glory back to God. I'm gonna say tonight that a biblical definition of being strong and courageous isn't rather being brave and strong from our own flesh, but it's rather relinquishing our strength and power and giving it to the Lord and gaining our strength and our courage from the Lord. If you could mark in your Bibles, we won't turn there just yet, but we're also going to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll go there in just a moment. But there's a clear, distinct definition, difference between being strong and courageous in the flesh and then strong and courageous in the spirit. And what God is talking about here in Joshua chapter 1 is being strong and courageous in the Lord. We notice down in verse 9, God actually gives a definition of what it means to be strong and courageous. It says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage?" It says, "Be not afraid and be neither thou dismayed." Now, that's where we might stop and we might go, okay, then the definition of being strong and courageous then means to not being afraid of certain things and not being dismayed. And then if we're doing that, if we're not afraid and if we're not being dismayed, then we are then therefore being strong and courageous. But if we continue reading on that verse, end of verse 9, it says, "For or because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So the reason that we may not have fear and the reason why we are brave and strong and courageous isn't in fact because we are strong internally, but rather because God is with us. And that's what God was telling Joshua here. In the same way that I was with Moses is the same way I'm going to be with you. So if you now turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to have a look at verse 5 through to verse 9. And this is the Lord. He's painting an analogy here between a man who is putting in his strength in himself and his own flesh compared to a man who will put his strength in the Lord. And it says, verse 5, of Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Or in other words, cursed is the man who relies on his own strength and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhibit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But then opposed to that man, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope in the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So we see there two stark differences in what's happening. God is describing, one, a man over here who is relying on his own flesh and his own arm for his strength, and he is described to be a heath in the desert. And if I was to describe a heath for you, it would be one of those big bushes that you see, which are like the tumbling weeds. We all know those movies where it's a typical movie scene where you've got a cowboy walking down the highway and the camera shot is panning from behind him and you see this big tumbleweed roll over, signifying on how dry and desolate the place is. And then on the other side, we have a man that's depicted as someone who is following God, someone who is planted by a river and his roots are spread out next to the river. And what happens is as the river goes by, the water soaks into the riverbed and provides water for the tree. Now, the picture that is being painted over here, where a man's relying on his own strength, is he might be able to build himself up to a certain point. He may be able to create himself into the bush he's meant to be, but then a drought comes. And once that drought comes, there is nothing more to sustain him because he is completely and utterly self-reliant. And then this particular bush or this heath, it dries out, it gets brittle, and then a wind comes along and blows it away and it becomes a tumbleweed. Where in reflection, on the other side of the spectrum, we've got a man who's built himself upon the Lord and he gets his strength and his courage from the Lord. And when a drought comes, it actually says here, come back to the verse with me. In verse 8, it says, for he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. So when a drought comes along, the tree is not going to be careful, it's not going to be worried, it's not going to be fretting or freaking out because it doesn't have anything sustaining it, because it's got a river that's continuously going through it, providing moist dirt and soil around it, giving it its life. So that's the contrast between putting our strength and building our strength upon ourselves or our own flesh and building our strength upon the Lord. When the bad times come and the storms come and rough parts of life, if we are bounded and strengthened by the Lord, he is there to sustain us. For as long as a tree is planted somewhere, the river is never going to leave. The river will always be there. But for a tumbleweed and for the heath, as soon as some dry weather comes, it has nothing to sustain it. It is barren and it is in the desert. So if we go back to Joshua chapter 1, knowing now that being strong and courageous is not about building ourselves up. It's not about getting our strength and courage from ourselves, but rather it's getting strength and courage from the Lord. We can see in this passage how God is actually explaining that and expanding that out further. Notice with me verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So God is now giving Joshua a charge, or instructing Joshua to not depart from his law. Now, obviously, now as modern day Christians, we are no longer bound by the law, and we now have biblical principles which we can read and follow. We have that blessing, so we have even more than what Joshua had. We have the ability to read the Bible, to seek what God wants, to seek what he does, then put that and apply that into action. Where God was instructing Joshua here to abide by the law, we also are to abide by biblical principles. And notice here what God says will happen when we do that. It says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, that's a bit of a concept that we don't often talk about in church, that in the fact that if we follow in the way that God wants us to live, that we will prosper. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that this is a prosperity gospel sort of thing. If you believe in the Lord, he's going to make you rich and famous and healthy. No, this is talking about the things that you're doing. If you're doing it in godly principles, in the way that God wants it done, that will make it prosper. Ultimately, God is the creator of all things. And if you do things in such a way which the creator has designed it to happen, it should work the way it should. In the same way that if an engineer told you to use a machine in such a way that would make it work best, you'd be foolish to not follow the engineer's instructions. So why is it any different with the Lord? Why is it sometimes that we think to ourselves, it'll actually benefit me more if I do it this way? Now, there's many different elements of life where we may come up against things where we have to go down one path or the other. We have to choose and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? Where we're tempted to go down and maybe do something which isn't exactly consistent with God's biblical principles. Now, this is what God encouraged Joshua to do, is to remain in the book of the law. Now, how are we meant to do that, and how are we meant to actually rely and remain consistent in those things if we don't know what they are? Which is why then God tells Joshua this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So then God reminds Joshua how important it is to remain consistent in being in his word. Ultimately, God is saying, if you don't know what my word is saying and the law is saying, there's no way you're going to be able to apply it. So God is telling Joshua here that he needs to be meditating on his word day and night. Obviously, now us as Christians, we have a lot more biblical text than what Joshua had back in those times. So we have so much more resources that we can rely on. But just back to the point where God is telling him to meditate on it day and night. Now, that's not a clear distinction, telling us we have to read our Bibles in the day and in the night time, but it's the process of meditating upon it. We should be in a state where we're thinking upon biblical principles and thinking upon the Word. And if we're not doing that consistently enough, there's no way that we're going to be thinking about the things of the Bible. If we're not in the Word regularly enough, we're definitely not going to be meditating upon it. If we continue reading on in verse 8, we'll start from the top. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So God is then saying that if you are then meditating upon my word day and night, you will then do what is according to what is in it. Now, the reason why it's so important that we regularly maintain a good Bible reading is because we are like a sponge, and God's designed us in such a way that we absorb things that are around us. We are learners. He's designed us that way because it's a great thing that we can absorb what's around us and then redistribute these things. So I use this analogy a fair bit in Sunday morning youth life groups. If you get a sponge and you submerge it in some sort of liquid and then you pull it out and you wring it out, what's going to come out? The liquid that you submersed it in. So if I got a sponge and I went and I submersed it in Coca-Cola and I wring it out, what's going to get me, Greg? Coca-Cola. And in the same way, if I got a sponge and dipped it in water and then I wringed it out, what's it going to give me? Water. Exactly right. We are the exact same way. If we submerse ourselves in the things of the world, if we submerse ourselves in the things of non-godly things, when we get wringed out, that is what's going to distribute. But if we submerse ourselves in the word, if we submerse ourselves in godly things, that's what we will reap. And we get wringed out, that is what we're going to reap. Now, there's a biblical blessing which comes from this. If we then therefore go and do these things, the Bible says, for then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So like I said before, in the analogy that I use for the engineer, if you want to do what is right and be prosperous and successful in the things that you do, whether that be in ministry, whether that be in work, whether that be in your studies and your friendships, your life, you do it in such a way that follows godly and biblical principles. That doesn't mean you're going to become a millionaire overnight. That doesn't mean you're going to be blessed and prospered abundantly, instantly. But if you follow godly and biblical principles time after time, that is going to lead to success. You know, you observe missionaries and what they do. They go overseas and they just constantly show faithfulness to the Lord time after time after time. It's not very often that they go over there and then 6 months later you go and see them and they've got this massive big church built with hundreds of people that come. But little after little and time after time of being faithful and following godly biblical principles, these things happen. So as we have a look and conclude, God's ultimate charge to Joshua was not to rely upon yourself, but to rely upon him. Joshua, what Joshua went and did afterwards, we know the stories and the things that he did. He went over the Jordan, fought all these people, and he went through some real trials and challenging times, really some scary times. But ultimately, it was his reliance on God that led him through. When we look at all of Israel's history, we can see when Israel followed godly biblical principles, they were blessed and they prospered. But when they hadn't, they went into times of hardship and trials. And you know, I could even say in my short life that I've had, that when I've been walking with the Lord, I've had times of blessing. But then when I haven't been walking with the Lord and I haven't been following biblical principles, not because God may have, but not because God's cursed me, but because of the things that I've done has resulted in my demise. So I'd like to leave that with you. The final thing is, I quite frequently mention this in youth life groups as well, and they probably hear me speak about it, you know, nearly weekly, that there's three things, three pillars that hold us up and maintain a good relationship with the Lord, and that's spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word, and spending time fellowshipping with other believers. Like, ultimately, how do we have a relationship with someone? We have a relationship with them by spending time with them, talking and listening to them, and then observing them. If we're not doing those things in our worldly relationships, our worldly relationship breaks down. And that's the same thing as it happens with the Lord. So we need to be conscious and constantly maintaining that relationship. And that is how we can have strength and courage from the Lord. It's not by our own strength. It's not by being a big human with a big heart and a big ego going to break things down, but it's by being close with the Lord and knowing that the Lord is always with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we have here tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you may help each and every one of us to be looking to you and know that our strength and knowledge comes from you and you alone. Our strength and courage comes from you and you alone. Father, I pray that you may help each and every one of us to be maintaining our relationship with you and have a sound and a good knowledge of your word and your principles, so as we go about our life, we can make decisions which are right and consistent with you. Father, we love you and we pray for the rest of this evening. In your name we pray. Amen.